everybody, and welcome into episode number 393 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Shanae.
Hey, Shanae, welcome. This is your first ever podcast experience, your longtime trivia host. Are you more nervous speaking in front of a large trivia crowd or recording this podcast?
Definitely doing the podcast because it's recorded.
Yeah, that's very, very fair. And also, we're way meaner than a crowd of drunk people, I think.
Accurate statement.
Just our default, yeah.
Yeah, that's been the fun part for, and I've said this before, virtual events, and Shanae's been hosting a lot of our virtual events, but you kind of really get to see everyone's reaction in real time all at once. And I don't know about you, Shanae, but I get a thrill from seeing 100 people roll their eyes at me collectively.
Yeah, or there's a thrill from no one turning their cameras on and you're just like talking to blank screens. So opposite ends of the spectrum.
I love it when people have blank screens in the sense that I hate it. I just assume that they're always laughing and smiling and they're having the best time ever. And it was the greatest moment of your life. So anyway, people, turn on your cameras if you can on a virtual event. That's the lesson.
I always assume when the cameras are off that they're not wearing any clothes. That's just kind of my default.
Oh, I'm never wearing pants. That's why I got a standing room desk. Pant free. Okay, so Michael, you haven't said anything. So why don't you kick off our fact parade today?
Absolutely.
Did you freeze or?
I did not freeze. I accidentally closed my facts. So why don't we kick it over to Nick?
Cool. All right. So my fact,
anything really can happen.
Right. I love going first. And that means that I don't have to make a transition. So sweet. And speaking of sweet things, Lucky Charms is a sweet cereal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's eaten Lucky Charms. Yes.
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 Okay. Lucky Charms has been around since the 1950s is when it was invented. And they have had many, many different marshmallow shapes and colors throughout the time. But only one shape has made it from the beginning all the way through to modern day times without having been removed, replaced, altered, changed. What is that shape?
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, so who's going to do it? We got hearts, stars, and horseshoes, clovers, and blue
moons. Clovers and balloons.
Yeah, we got some pots of golden rainbows, right? So it's got to be one of those guys, right? If it's in the song, we can narrow it down to those 8, 9, whatever, right?
Is there any way, it's Lucky Charms. Is there any way it's not the four-leaf clover?
Has it always been named Lucky Charms?
Okay, that's a decent question there.
It has always been named Lucky Charms.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Yeah. And when did it debut? What year?
I believe it was 1953, but I can confirm that in a minute.
Yeah, I'd like to know what year, because that'll give us an idea of what was important in that decade. You know,
sorry.
I feel like the marshmallow flavor of the 50s will be different than the marshmallow flavor of the 60s. No
right.
reason why, but just a hunch of the 70s. You know, it's just a different vibe.
Yeah, it was 1963 is when it first hit shelves.
1963. Yeah. Okay, so what do we know about 1963, guys? Or unless, Michael, you're sticking with your four-leaf clover, guess?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the clovers. It's Lucky Charms. I don't know how it's something else.
Yeah, I agree with Michael because like the mascot is a leprechaun. So like, I don't quite know. I mean, it could be a rainbow because, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but I feel like it might be the clover.
Lindsay, by the way, did you ask what the major events were in 1963?
No, I know what the major events were in 1963. I was saying that just collectively, the different decades have different tones, you know?
Right.
So I didn't know if the tone would lead me down a path to guessing the correct marshmallow.
Sure.
Which, by the way, I'd like to say this, that marshmallow in the US is still spelled with an A. You know, been watching the Great British Baking Show. They say marshmallow. Yep. And I was like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, marshmallow. And then I Googled it and I just went camping, had a s'mores thing, looked at the bag and it's spelled M-A-L-L and it blew my mind.
Yep. That's just like Fruit Loops is F-R-O-O-T, fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the Berenstain Bears, S-T-A-I-N.
Yeah. And now I've made a point to just call it marshmallows, which makes me definitely be, an a-hole.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm doing that thing where I'm a procrastiguessing, which please, that is trademarked by me, procrastiguessing. And I'm going to be different. I think that the heart is an organ that exists in all of us for all of time. They had hearts in the 60s, 50s, all of the times had hearts. So I'm going to stick with the heart. Classic. Leprechauns have hearts.
Do they, though?
Yeah, are you sure?
Actually, I don't know that.
That leprechaun movie, I don't know.
All right, Shanae, what's your guess?
Oh, I'm going to go with the clover.
You're going to go with the clover as well. So you and Michael are in with green clovers. Lindsay went with pink hearts. The fun fact, I could not find any website anywhere that listed every single one of the variations of different marshmallows that have appeared in Lucky Charms. I can tell you the current box, circa 2020, has frogs raining from the sky and the sky blacking out and that's later. The current version of Lucky Charms has rainbows, horseshoes, purple horseshoes, blue moons, green clovers, unicorns,
ooh,
and orange shooting stars. That is the current lineup of marshmallows in the Lucky Charms.
I remember when they added the shooting stars when I was a kid.
And, I'm sorry. I also missed. They have the pink balloons and the pink hearts, or red balloons and pink hearts is also in the box.
I was like, whoa, they don't have pink hearts?
Yeah, that's also in the box right now. So there are currently 8 different kinds of marshmallows that are in the box. The original box, circa 1963, only had 4. Those 4 were orange stars, not shooting stars, just orange star-shaped stars, yellow moons, neither of which appear in the current box, so both of those obviously are not correct, green clovers, and pink hearts. Okay. So all of you are so far right. However, there was a period of time in the early 2000s where one of those shapes was removed from the lineup. So there was about a 4-year gap where green clovers was not included in the box. Your correct answer is pink hearts. Lindsay, for the win.
Let's go. Yes. Oh my gosh. It feels so good because it is so rare for me to do an educated guess that is correct. You know, if I get something right, usually it's like a blind toss at the wall. You know, I'm throwing a wet noodle on the wall, you know, like you do to test if your pasta is done. Yeah. That's my normal guesses, but we did it today. Okay. I quit. I'm out of the podcast. See you.
Meeting ended.
Yeah. Okay. So Shanae, do you have a good transition from Lucky Charms and marshmallows into your fact, or are we going to try to, Michael, you're going to make a segue? What do we got here in terms of transitions?
No, I don't have a transition for Lucky Charms.
I think I got one.
Let's hear it.
All right. So Lucky Charms are food.
Correct. only by the largest possible definition of the term, but yes.
I love that, like, I was like one sentence in and Lindsay's already disappointed.
It's honestly my default state with you, Michael. No.
One of the things you need to taste food is your taste buds. Mm.
That is correct.
And I actually learned something about taste buds the other day. Turns out when you're flying, you lose some taste buds. You lose some taste buds. So my question is, when you are flying, what percentage of your taste buds do you use due to the low pressure and everything that has to do with flying?
Well, so funny thing, I actually know that if you fly Southwest, you lose your taste buds a little bit more often than if you fly United.
I don't get the joke.
No, it was a baggage handling joke. That's always funnier when you have to explain it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I've flown Southwest, I've flown United, and I thought that it was a baggage thing, but I didn't make the connection with the food. Like, you can choose your own taste, but I don't know. I think there's something there. We'll workshop it. We'll come back to you next. So, Michael, you're saying that it was a percentage, the percentage that you lose, right?
The sensitivity of your taste buds.
Okay. Mm. So the percentage that you lose is what you're saying.
Right, when you're flying.
Okay, so Shanae, what do you think? Have you flown often? Have you eaten things on planes? Have you seen snakes on planes? Have you eaten snakes on planes?
Well, I'm from Georgia, so I generally fly Delta, and they give you those really good snacks on Delta, like the Biscoff cookies. So I feel like that's the extent of my eating on planes. But my question for Michael is this geared towards like a cumulative loss of your taste buds, or is it like once you are in the air, they're like they go away, and then like once you land, like they're restored.
No. It's a sensitivity of your taste buds due to the low pressure and the dryness within the plane. So once you land and you're back mm-hmm. to normal, whatever.
I would say probably airplane food is probably not well seasoned. I feel like everything that I have had, like for international flights. So this is going to be a wild guess, but maybe.
Welcome to the podcast, Janae. Welcome to the podcast.
Maybe like 20%. Is there a margin of error?
Oh, that's a good question. Give or take how much?
Closest. Okay. Whoever's closest.
Okay, I'm going to say 20%.
Cool.
Okay.
I shall venture into this. So anytime that I fly, I have a little bit of a routine. I get a big bag of fruit snacks because I think those are just really sweet and delicious. And just, you never know, like you're rewarding yourself. You're 20 minutes into the flight, you get a nice little fruit snack. I also like to get a bag of York peppermint patties. They're sweet, they're chocolate, and the mint, it just like refreshes you on the plane. York's peppermint patties, if you want to sponsor my next flight post-COVID, call me. I like those things. I think they have stronger flavors. I didn't realize that they might taste differently on a plane. And in my procrastinate guess, I think that losing about a fifth of your taste buds seems about right. But I don't want to steal your guess. So I'm going to go 25%. So you have like 75% of your tasting capacity. You lose a quarter of it.
Okay. All right. So it's actually very interesting that you bring this up because I'm thinking now back to all the flights that I've had and I'm realizing that Sarah only ever drinks tomato juice on airplanes. Like she never drinks tomato juice like ever, but she gets on an airplane. It's the only thing she orders on an airplane. And she just says it tastes different. It tastes better on an airplane.
I do the same thing with apple juice. That's my plain drink. If you're coming around with the cart and I'm not having a wine, I'm having some apple juice and it's just become my plain thing. People that I fly with just know if Lindsay's asleep, get her an apple juice if that cart's going by.
Jack Daniels.
I'm with you, Michael. It's if she's not having a drink, I'm sorry. We're on a plane.
Fly the plane.
Yeah. I'm gonna I have no idea. I have no chance of doing this. So it is just a shot
Watch
in the dark.
Watch as he nails it now.
No. It's a shot in the dark here. But game theory wise, in order to be an interesting fact, it either has to be ridiculously high or ridiculously low. So if you guys are going 20 and 25%, I'm gonna go to the other side of the extreme and say 75%.
Okay. What is it, Michael?
So it's about 30%. So Lindsay is closest by undercutting Shanae. Let's be clear about what she did. Like, I like that guess.
I set the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, sorry. I don't even have anything to say because I was too busy doing my victory dance because I'm 2 for 2. Life is good.
By the way, I've already named this episode. I know I haven't named an episode of the podcast yet, but we only have one interesting fact left to go that isn't Lindsay's. So I'm just going to name this podcast Lindsay Wins.
We've used that title before.
Oh, have we? Never mind then.
Pretty sure.
It happens very, very infrequently, but I would like, since Shanae, you are a guest and this is your first time and we're running short on time here, so I would like to make sure that you get your fact in. So please transition from Michael's airplane food fact into whatever your fact will be.
So I actually do have a good segue from Michael's fact, because it's about travel. So thank you. So I am really interested in Latin America. Like I lived in Brazil, I lived in Uruguay for a little bit of time. And so my question is about Latin America and its relationship with fast food. My question is, which country in Latin America was the first country to reject and completely expel McDonald's after establishing multiple locations within the country?
Ooh.
Was okay. The first, is there more than one?
That's debatable. But yeah, the key word is first.
Okay. All right. Well, I know Lindsay has done an interesting fact in the past about Iceland's last Big Mac, where I believe they keep it under lock and key in a vacuum sealed container in front of a camera 24/7.
Yeah, the French fry like live stream of this Big Mac in Iceland has been around for a very long time.
Yeah, it was the last one ever sold before they got rid of McDonald's. But that's not in Latin America.
You are correct. Well done, Nick.
And this has been the We Don't Know Either. This
is, yeah. Yeah, you know, Latin America is a place that and I'm saying a place, there's obviously many places within Latin America, and I haven't unfortunately gotten to travel as much into those countries as I would like to. I really do want to go to Brazil and Cuba. I've been to Puerto Rico and St. Martin, but not as many places as I want to go. Costa Rica is on the bucket list for sure. So I can't speak to places that I've been that have had McDonald's. Not that I'm necessarily seeking them out if I'm traveling. So I think just on a blind guess, because, you know, I was 2 for 2 actually thinking it through, and I got to go back to my roots. I don't want people to think that I've been replaced by some sort of alien robot species or something. I am who I am. And so a blind guess, I'm going to stick with Cuba. I'm going to go Cuba.
That's a good guess.
A really good guess.
That's much better.
It's an island.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about the islands. I don't know why I was thinking about the mainland, but now that you mention it, I'm trying to, I spent a lot of time down in the Caribbean. I never lived there specifically, but I spent months sailing from island to island. And I'm trying to remember, I spent a reasonable amount of time on Jamaica, and I don't think I ever saw a McDonald's there. So I'm going to say Jamaica, just because personal knowledge and experience of not having actually seen one during my time there.
Was there not one in the airport? I've never been to Jamaica, but I feel like there's so many U.S. tourists there that, like, putting that in the airport, like, there was a McDonald's in the Tahiti airport, which I know is not Latin America, but it's a very, very small airport. And that was one of three places that you could get food.
I can't speak specifically to the Jamaican airport because I've never been in the Jamaican airport.
Oh,
I came in through the harbor, right? When we docked the boat in the harbor. Yeah. So what I think is absolutely hysterical is that you have countries like, so one summer when I was a long billion years ago, I went to Greece for the summer. And then at the end of that, I went and visited a friend in Salt Lake City. And I found the dichotomy between Athens and Salt Lake City was very interesting, you know, in its age and its, you know, everything about it. And I thought what was amazing was that at the, you know, they're both grid cities, right? Like the roads are laid out in grids. And at the corner of like the center of the city in Salt Lake City, like First Street and First Avenue, like right in the middle of the crossroads, is the Mormon temple, like you would, you know, assume it would be. And in Athens, the corner of like First Street and First Avenue is a McDonald's.
Been around for a lot longer, I suppose. Okay, so you're locking in Jamaica. Michael, what is your guess?
I don't think it's Jamaica.
Okay, so your guess is not Jamaica.
My guess, yeah, okay, perfect. My guess is not Jamaica.
Give us a country, Michael.
Any country. Name a country in Central America.
I'm thinking, because I'm trying to think. I've been lucky to travel through that some of there quite a bit. So Belize, I know there's one.
Well, just to interject, so it's not Central America, it's Latin America. So Central and South America. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't limit yourself, she's saying.
I'm going to say Nicaragua.
Oh.
For no reason whatsoever.
Cool.
Other than I haven't been there, so I have not seen a McDonald's there.
That's a logic we're going with, apparently.
All right, Shanae, what's the answer?
Okay, so you guys are all wrong. the answer is actually Bolivia. But just to comment on Lindsay's answer, so there actually is technically a McDonald's in Cuba, but it's on Guantanamo Bay, so Cubans don't have access to it. But yeah, Bolivia had like 8 McDonald's. They didn't really do well because the economy was really bad, and apparently street food there is way better than anything that McDonald's can give Bolivians. So they kind of just didn't spend a lot of money at McDonald's. That? Yeah.
Michelin, he wasn't in Bolivia. I think it was Southeast Asia somewhere, but a guy in a food cart just got a Michelin star. or a couple of years ago. This is a food cart with a Michelin star. Yeah. So I assume the people in Bolivia are next up on that list.
Great faction. Okay, so I need to segue very quickly. We only have 1 to 2 minutes left on this episode. So my fact is going to be quick, brief. You guys are going to have to throw out your guesses because it could be an easy fact. I just think it was kind of fun. So 2020 has 13 full moons. October is going to have 2 full moons, one of them being on Halloween for the blue moon. Very cool. Very cool and eerie, right? 2020 hashtag. So there's different types of moons. Each month has a moon name, right? The moon cycle is about 29.5 days, right? So the harvest moon symbolizes the harvest. I was born in November and I wanted to know what the November full moon is called. It's named after an animal. And so my question to you is, what is the term for a full moon in November?
Turkey moon.
A turkey moon? Okay, that's your guess.
That's my guess.
I'm going to say a rabbit moon.
A rabbit moon?
Yeah, just randomly.
The first thing that comes to mind is the blue corn moon from Pocahontas, but that's not an animal. So I'm going to
multiple names for moons, like depending on the month. There is a, like, December has cold moon, there's a hunter's moon, there's a corn moon in September. Like, depending on where you look, there's different moon names. This is just one of the main ones named after an animal. My source is the ever transvestant farmer's almanac.
I'm going to go with an otter. That's Sarah's favorite animal. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Patronus of Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
So the correct answer, you guys are all wrong. Unfortunately, it is the beaver. So November beaver, it traces its back to Native Americans and colonials were talking about how you needed to get beaver pelts and they would get ready for winter. It's not super exciting, but I thought it was interesting. So the beaver moon in November, and you can think of that giant moon in the sky and think of little beaver dams and how cute they are.
I think that should be our secret phrase, by the way. Not super exciting, but interesting.
Not super exciting, but interesting. Put that on my epitaph.
Putting that on my Tinder profile.
Yeah. Not super exciting, but interesting. Not super exciting, but interesting. That's your secret phrase. We have to wrap up this episode. So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Shanae.
And We Don't Know Either.
Bye.